The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet, my calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads, and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. He said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendant, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
It is so beautiful to look out and see all of you here. How all of you, each one of us, myself included, have responded to the invitation of the Lord. And not just those of you that are here in the pew, those that are online watching, this response that comes to our heart every day. It's even more impressive to see all of you here, to fully know what it took for you to get here. With all the rain. I saw the rain out there. It made me think of St. John Paul II in World Youth Day in Toronto. Millions of young people gathering and during the rain coming down and everything just pouring down on them. And he came out, and the saint that he was, when people went and saw him, they said, "Pay attention to the weather. Things happen." And when he came out, a friend of mine that was there said, I mean, it was like a dryer came out. The rain stopped and the place dried all up. And he joked with everybody and he said, "Ha, ha, ha, you had a natural baptism last night. You had a natural baptism. But it's so good to see you here." And we can all hear that voice that echoed in time, that continues to echo in eternity, that smile, that enthusiasm about the invitation that comes to us. An invitation that begins at our baptism. That young people, teenagers, turn to their godparents and their parents, not understanding everything, not understand their full direction in life. But at that moment, they own that relationship. They accept that invitation at their confirmation. The fullness of baptism. So it's great, so great to look at God our Father inviting us to look to Him through His creation, through the rain, through a sunset, through a sunrise, through a budding flower or a tree blooming, or even leaves falling, knowing that in the spring they will bud again. God crying out to us and speaking to us through His creation and inviting us to Him. And then Jesus Christ, who said, "Whoever sees me sees the Father," comes in the flesh, someone that we can look at that once again invites us into a relationship. Not only invites us into a relationship, He chooses us. As he said in John 15, 16, it wasn't you who chose me, but I who chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. And so an invitation to come and an invitation to go, to offer response to this relationship, this friendship. And then to think of the Holy Spirit, this one God, three persons who invites us into a relationship that only each one of us can answer, that occurs in the depths of our heart. This relationship where God wants to tell us through this Holy Spirit that we can't see how much he loves us. And he wants to communicate his love to us in ways beyond explanation, that moves us to respond to that invitation. And that's why it's such a joy to look out at all of you and see you're here. See your response. And that's why it's a joy to know the data, not just to know the data in the technology we have today, but to know that on average, over 1,000 families, that's more than 1,000 people, are connecting, not just to us, but to this God who invites them too. And they're worshiping in their homes in spirit and in truth. So you know what? All of us are here to offer that response. And the whole liturgy of the word today speaks about an invitation. An invitation to turn everything ordinary into something extraordinary with the love of God that has been poured out into us. So we all have been invited to a relationship. And it's this God of ours who proposes this invitation and does not impose this invitation. He wants to work through us to go out and invite people in the streets and our places of work and in our neighborhoods to come and have a hospitality in this church of his, to know that they belong, to know they've been chosen, to know that God created them in his image and likeness and loves them with a radical love and sends us out. And so our invitation turns into response. Here at Mass, we offer a response to the invitation. We open our hearts. And this Jesus gives us his heart in return. His living word that will animate our heart, give courage to our heart. And his own flesh and blood, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist that comes into our heart. I want to speak of one who accepted this invitation. I want to speak of one who engaged in this relationship. And I want to speak of one who gave a response that resulted in this one being the newest blessed, beatified saint in our church. You need, first you're recognized as a servant of God. Then the Supreme Pontiff, the Pope, beatifies you. And when one is beatified, they become someone either regionally or locally in their diocese that's held up in a certain way of someone who lived a blessed life. Then eventually, after certain miracles, some to be beatified, some to be canonized, they reach the next step of canonization, which means they're recognized university, church, worldwide, heaven and earth, as a canonized saint. I want to speak about, in relation to the living word of God, the first millennial saint. The first millennial beatified today in Assisi by Pope Francis, Carlo Acutis, passed away to eternity at 15 years old, a teenager, in 2006. He was spoken of by his mother who this teenager brought his parents back to the faith through the way he lived. She spoke of him as somebody, even though a boy at 11 and as a teenager, spoke with authority because he spoke with the love of God. He lived it, even as a child. How many teenagers, how many young people are bringing people, their friends and others, back to this wonderful banquet, this encounter and relationship with our Lord? Carlo Acutis was known to have said, or his mom was known to have said, everything ordinary, he turned into extraordinary. The things that we may look at teenagers doing and we say, oh, that's ordinary, nothing good's going to come out of that, he turned it into some extraordinary, a means to reach out to others and proclaim the good news. He had a passion for technology. He was a millennial. He loved computers and video games. He brought about his own website where he evangelized, and now his website's in 17 different languages. Where in his website, he wanted to share with the world all the Eucharistic miracles. He wanted to talk about Mary and reach out to those out there and just tell them the good news. You can learn more about Carlo Acutis. We will have the links on our website this evening about 9:30 or 10 o'clock if you stay up that late. Don't go to your social media. Don't go to the latest game show or whatever. Get inspired by a teenager by just watching a video of his life. I watched two today. I was like, wow. And you know what? He wanted to be a priest. And his mom said he's living his priesthood in heaven. Because you know we're all priests. Did you know that? By virtue of our baptism, we all participate in the one priesthood of Jesus Christ. Myself in the ministerial priesthood, which is ordered to service, just like matrimony. They're two sacraments of service. But all of you, by your baptism, the common priesthood. And we offer a sacrifice of love to the one who loved us first, Jesus. Carlo Acutis responded to the invitation, an invitation that's offered also to us now. At the end of Mass, the deacon would say, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Or go in peace, go out into his vineyard. Take the good news out there. In the first reading of today in the Old Testament, an invitation to this mountain, the mountain of eternity. Carlo was known to have said to his peers and others, quote, we must always look towards God to set our eyes on the things of above while we walk on the ground. But he goes on to say, we must always look toward God. Sorrow is when we look inward. Sorrow is when we looked inward. Joy is when we focus our gaze on God. Think about it. How profound coming out of a teenager. Think of probably our most sorrowful moments in our life where we just kind of close in on ourselves. I can think of it countless times when I wasn't nearly as mature as him at his age. When I was asked to do the dishes or set the table or fold my laundry, or to help one of my siblings. I was selfish. And those were moments of great sorrow because I closed in on myself. Here's a teenage boy saying, we must always look towards God. Sorrow is when we look inward. Joy is when we focus our gaze on God. Wow. Do we want joy in this moment? As we journey in these times, this moment, we've got to focus our gaze on God. Focus our gaze on where we're going. Focus on this eternal encounter with a God who loves us and encourages us and challenges us to look to the finish line, this mountain spoken of in the first reading, fullness of life in Christ, eternal life on high. An invitation to this mountain, the mountain of God. An invitation to draw strength as we still journey in this valley of tears. As the psalm so beautifully says, the psalm here, focusing on where we're going, I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But the psalm speaks about, though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil. Why? Because my gaze is not inward. It's not in the sorrow. My gaze is towards God. That's where my focus is. As Carlo, teenager, what he echoed in time, spoke in time, echoes in eternity. The word of God who spoke to Carlo is speaking to us today through this letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, a letter of encouragement. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. It's not just a phrase we put on our sports shoes. I remember when I used to do races, I'd put them on my tennis shoes and stuff, because we have those moments when we're running a race, where we need to look down and we need to see the word of God and recall Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And to draw strength from the Lord as we journey. This Lord who has not abandoned us in our time, but comes to meet us through we are. With the help of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, we are not orphans. And Carlo knew this, and he knew where to find that strength. He's quoted to have said, when nourished by the Eucharist, we feed on the love of God, and we live in him. And in this way, we can live this friendship with Christ. You're looking for strength in these times. You're struggling in your family life. You're spending more time with the nightly news or the internet conversations than we are with this friend who comes to us, the living word of God. Turn that stuff off and seek the friendship of our Lord. A friendship where he wants to challenge us and lead us and love us and encourage us and accompany us. Carlo was 11 years old when he received his first Holy Communion. 3-4 years before he died. And he went daily to draw from this strength. Daily. And his parents weren't even going to church. But see, Carlo had that invitation in his heart. Not everybody can do that, go daily. But we can all make a spiritual communion. And Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, recall this moment, this mountain, this mountain of the Lord that we climb and receive our Lord, and we say, amen, it is true, and he becomes our strength for the journey. I had one of the most beautiful experiences this past week in over 10 years of the priesthood, to be called to the hospital and to find a couple that's been married 54 years. They just moved here a couple months ago because their daughter's living there. The husband, terminally ill, getting ready to go where we're all going. And it was so utterly beautiful to take the Eucharist, carry the Eucharist, Jesus, in my side pocket to go up and see them, to offer them both the sacrament of confession. It's beautiful. Then together to pray the prayers as I anointed him. Not me, but Jesus working through me, through his church, to offer while he's awake and lucid and understands the apostolic pardon that the Pope offers and priests can give in the last rites. And he was awake with his wife to renew his baptismal promises and to pray the commendation for the dying. Go forth, faithful Christian. A beautiful prayer in the rite. Then to offer them the Eucharist, the food for the journey. And then to see in his eyes an expression how much he wants to kind of like give back or pay back. And I said, no, just do me one favor. When you see Jesus, because you will, you're going out in a 5-star way, and I pray I go out that way. Just tell him I love him and I'm trying. Jesus is real. We're going to see him someday. And those encounters which all of us have had with different family members and way, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. Because we don't close in ourselves, we look to God. We suffer, yes, as Jesus suffered on the cross. And he cried out, Abba, Daddy, forgive them, they know not what they do. He turned his glance to his heavenly Father. Carla was known to have been walking to Mass one day and seeing a homeless person. The next day he walked to Mass again in Milan, Italy. And he had emptied out all his savings as a young teenager. And with joy, he brought that homeless person a sleeping bag. He could have bought another video game, it said of him, but he bought a sleeping bag. And I don't know how many were there. It doesn't matter how many were there. But a large majority of the ones that were there at his funeral in Milan were homeless. He received the invitation in his heart. Where are the homeless in my neighborhood? And I'm talking about the people living next door to you. That may be driving the nice cars and having the fancy homes and all that wonderful stuff, which is good. But in their hearts and in their homes, if we crack the window, we see they're homeless. And they're waiting and yearning and longing for someone to invite them. Not to impose the faith, but to propose the faith. To invite the homeless. And let them know that they have a home. And their home is this church. This is their home. How many people have nice homes, but they don't feel at home? They're not experiencing the love that a teenage Carlo experienced. Carlo went out, and he invited others through technology, through catechetical formation with people in his church, through his peers, encouraging them, not slamming them, but gently encouraging them, above all by example. 17 languages and nations tap into his website. A teenager, first millennial beatified, shows the world how to respond. An invitation to this mountain, an invitation to draw strength, an invitation to respond. What will be my response to Christ this week?